Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 130 for the 7th of May, 2011, and what a disastrous morning we've been having.
It's great.
There's so many things
that it could possibly have been the reason we went and everything went wrong, that we just gave up trying to figure out what was wrong, and we just went, let's just get it working.
Yeah, and you're going to hear all sorts of mistakes like that one at the beginning. I don't know even if the audio listeners will hear that or not. But if you hear weird stray sounds and so forth, it really is just a case of...
It's the demons of the internet.
We are completely hotwired here.
Yes.
So I'm just going to see something here.
Echo.
I don't know if the audio listeners can hear that or not, but this chat room definitely can. So, we're going to get on. I am Dave McVeigh, and this is Josh Philpott, and we normally start this show, because this goes go out live at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, Australian Time.
You will notice it's not that time.
But it is not that time. It is actually about 20 past 1, and the reason for that is because we have just been completely crashed out here. We take 1 week off, and what did you say?
Well, we take 1 week off, and the demons and the gods of the internet decide to punish us.
Yeah, I know. It's just ridiculous. You know, one week.
You know, it felt weird enough anyway, because last week I was just like, well, what do I do on a Saturday? It was a hole, man. And, like, I think the chat room was agreeing with us before.
Yeah. Well, the chat room has been very, very patient. They have hung in there throughout all of this. And they're all saying, you know, what are we muting and so forth. The echo, by the way, is because we are patched to hell. Every time we play a clip, we actually have to make sure we mute.
We actually unplugged the Ethernet cord, and we've actually stuck the computer directly into the internet. And you don't even know how that's possible, but we did it.
All right, so with all of that, what is this show? This show is a mess.
What the fuck is it? I don't know, man.
And we're going to have to really... And the other thing is, I mean, we were really hoping to start on time, because it is my lovely wife Katie's birthday today. Happy birthday, dear. And so... I have birthday things I have to do this afternoon as well. So, without much further ado, let's get this thing started. It's 20 past. We're going to keep our eyes on the clock today. We have to keep on track somehow. So, we'll see how we go. But we like to... this show, by the way, just to... See, I'm all discombobulated here. We used to have a tech show. We used to have an after show. We messed it together. We come out with this kind of congealed mess. This is kind of a tech show. It is kind of a after show. It's a geeky mess. It's just geek culture, basically. We like to...
It's just fun.
It's fun. And we like to start the show with a little bit of feedback. And my God, we have a lot of feedback.
We have a great amount of feedback.
For this show, you guys continue sending your feedback to the same address that you have been sending to. That is wonderful, which is feedback@geekactually.com. I can't bring it up on screen because we don't have supers, because this board is ghetto.
Yep.
But that is feedback@geekactually.com. We have a new feedback line for film, actually, which we will do in that show. All right. So now you don't have to put what show it's for. You just have to send it to the right address.
Yep.
All right. So feedback@geekactually.com. And if you send your feedback, you might sound something like this. First one up is from a guy called Guy.
Awesome.
So, hi, Guy.
He says,
hey, David and Josh. Just to let you know, absolutely love the show. Have been listening for some time, and you guys have become one of my must-have podcasts for the week. Easily up there with the This Week Ins. That's the Leo Laporte ones. Thank you very much. And the science-based ones. On that, I cannot recommend highly enough the Radiolab podcast that is capable of the most beautifully edited thing I've ever heard. It is capably. I think that's probably. I think that's probably an autocorrect issue.
That's probably sounds like a phone-based
I've ever heard, particularly the Parasites episode. I'm going to check this out. I love podcasts, so I will check that out. Thank you very much. Although, unfortunately, I have not had the chance to join your chat room, but I will make an effort. Spotted this article linked on /dot, and he thought we might be interested in this. Now, he says, I read the article and thought it sounded a bit familiar. Now, this link will be in our show notes. I've already put it in the show notes. Basically, what the link is, and we won't go into great detail because we're running late today, but a former senator, Harris Schmitz, I think his name is, said that he wants to send missions to the moon to mine helium-3 from the moon to help our power issues. Now, if that sounds very familiar to you, the point that the guy is making, he says, I read the article and thought it all sounded a bit familiar, then realized that it's the plot for the fantastic film Moon.
Yes.
Not sure if this senator saw the movie and thought, not a bad idea. I don't actually know. I thought helium-3 was a plot device. I wasn't even sure how much helium-3 is actually on the moon, but, you know, there might be a lot.
And what does it do?
Oh, it's It's a power source, obviously.
According to a film.
Anybody who out there who is into science, can you please write to us and tell us about helium-3, okay? Yes, I haven't had time to do my homework on helium-3, so if you want to send us your homework on helium-3, we would love to hear about it. Keep it short and concise, though. Don't send us huge documents, all right? Anyway... He says, anywho, I realize this is too late for this weekend's show. No, it isn't. I checked my mail late last night. But even if you
geeks, don't... We're always connected.
That's true. And even if you don't use it, thought you might enjoy the read. And I did, actually. I had a quick look through the articles, and they are very interesting, and I will go through it in more detail. The link is in our show notes, which you can get once this episode is posted. He also says, P.S., would love to come to the unofficial Geek Action movie night sometime, see a film or two with those that can appreciate film, and yet offer and willingly put forward, I'm looking at you, Josh, a polarizing opinion with justified reasoning.
Hey, at least he had the justified reasoning. I was getting there. I was like, come on, man, I try.
I think that's a great response.
Thank you.
And you are welcome anytime you want to come. We also have one from Matt. Our friend Snake Oz, who's in the chat room, who actually says, hey, Dave and Josh, found some good apps to try. Great Little War Game HD, good little strategy turn-based game for both iPhone 4 and iPad. Won't work on the 3G. Not sure about the 3GS. Mm-hmm. There is a free version and a paid one for only $3.99 when I grabbed it. I will pull it and have a look at it. It sounds like fun. He also says he has two other apps that are both free and work on the iPhone and iPad, but they will cost you $350 first. And they are, of course, the AR Free Flight and AR Flying Ace programs for the AR drone. He says both are very cool, but I think it is more to do with the AR drone than the apps. For those who don't know, Snake Oz in our chat room has got an AR drone now.
I hate you.
And he is going to bring it in for show and tell.
Really? When did that get announced?
He said, I'm announcing it stuff. Right now. And he says, I will try and catch some shows tomorrow, hopefully. And he is. He's in our chat room. Now, he actually did say that he wants to practice and make sure he can fly the thing first.
Dude, I want it to like come down between us.
So, Matt, once you are confident in your flying abilities, let me know and we will...
I'll be uploading a course that you have to be able to run it through. It will include backflips and several other very difficult tasks.
We don't have that much room in the studio, dude. What we might have to do is get him down here, go outside.
What I want to get him to do is get it and bounce and balance two balls. So he has to juggle two balls at the same time in the background while
we do
the
hearing
intro.
The snake? Are you ready for this? Okay.
You better be.
And Delta Knight in our chat room wants to know that why don't we get a free AR drone with the apps? So that's a good one. All right. Is this one? Where are we? Oh, yeah. It's Tristan sent us an email. We won't go into great detail on this, but he did actually say... that he just says, just thought you might be interested in this, and the link will be in our show notes. Maybe one day TV will be sent through fiber optics. I think that's inevitable, quite frankly. Mm. Imagine having information and data being delivered this fast. You could stream 4K movies, no drama. And basically, it's a link for ultra-fast fiber optics setting new speed records. This is brand new fiber optics that are being laid down, and it looks quite phenomenal. I won't read the rest of that, but follow the link and read the article. I only skimmed it myself, but it looks great. And all I can think is, great, we're finally putting fiber optics to all the houses in Australia, and it's already out of date.
It's so true.
What else we got here? Oh, that's film, actually, isn't it? All right, so that's feedback. If you want to send feedback, to send it to feedback@geekactually.com. We love your feedback. We also have a voicemail line, and you can, if you want to speak your feedback, you're more than welcome to. It's 02-8011-3167 or Skype ID geekactually, all one word. Keep them short, keep them clear and concise, and we will play them on the show if you are interesting. All right. Now, we also had Jordan sent us an email. He didn't actually send anything to read. He just sent a link. Right. And I'm going to play this link for you right now. It's a very, very
short. Awesome.
It's a very short video. And if we were on the other board, we could actually talk while it was playing and describe what's going on. So because we can't, I'm going to have to describe it in advance. All right. Basically, what you're going to see here is everybody has gone Portal crazy, as we know, because Portal 2 has come out. I haven't got my copy yet.
I finished it.
Oh, how long did it take you? I've been hearing reports between 6 and 8 hours.
That'd be about right.
Yep, about that. Yeah, I'm done.
Not including co-op.
No. This is single player. This is a single player mission only.
However, I would like to say a special shout out to JD, who works with me, that managed to finish the co-op game by himself. Special shout out to you,
what,
dude.
Controller in each hand?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, most of the puzzles in the game you can actually do by setting one up. And
that
then
takes ambidextrous to a whole new level.
I was very impressed.
Sorry, we're so getter today. I'm just checking the audio levels as we're going, making sure we have a show recording here. All right, so now what was I going to do? Oh, yeah, this video. So everybody is Portal crazy. This video Jordan sent us, and I loved it. I thought it was really, really funny. It's just a very short video. Audio listeners, I do apologize. It is just music and a little bit of a talking word here and there. Yeah. But just in your mind, envision Mario from the original Super Mario Brothers. We're not even talking about any redos or anything. The original Super Mario Brothers with a Portal gun. All right? And you'll have an idea. And once the show is up, you can check the show notes. The link for this video is there. Check this out.
Wait, what is that?
Time. Oh, shit.
All right, so that gives you the idea of what we're... Boy, that's really hard having to mute things as I'm coming out of clips. For our audio listeners, I'll probably abridge that down a little bit, so it'll probably be a little bit shorter than that. But I just think that is so cute. I just
it's a lot of thought and done only the way 8-bit fanatics can do it.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, let's talk a little bit, and we were gonna do this big long thing about Sony and its mess, and I think we're gonna abridge this a little bit though, because last night, and I don't have this in the show notes, this just happened. My wife actually heard it, and I haven't actually heard it myself yet. Mm. So until I've actually heard it, I don't want to really do a lot of comment on it. But apparently, last night, after what 16 days, something like that, the CEO of Sony finally apologized. It's taken him enough time because up until now he's had his underlings basically doing all the apologies and what have you. Yeah. And everybody has basically said from the beginning what they really want is the CEO of Sony to come out and take responsibility for this.
Yeah.
And finally, it sounds like he did. Yeah. For those who don't know, and if you don't know, you're probably not really a geek and you wouldn't be listening to this show, but we'll just briefly run this down. Josh, you know a lot more about this than I do. But the timeline on this is basically about 16 days ago or something like that, the Sony network went down.
About 3-4 weeks ago.
About 3-4 weeks ago now. Yeah. But, okay, so the Sony network went down.
Yeah.
They say it was a DOS attack. Mm-hmm. Brought down the network, and because they had originally noticed that there was unauthorized activity on the server, so Sony itself shut it down. Mm-hmm. They didn't actually wait for it to crash. They shut it down. Now, they didn't offer much explanation. When was the first words that came out of them on what was going on?
It would have been about a week and a half later. Week and a half to 2 weeks later. It's it was interesting because it was like at first we started having issues getting on, and then we started seeing people being kicked and stuff like that. So there was this kind of initial period where things started happening, and then there was a shutdown. And the shutdown at first was just you couldn't log on. My one in my room, I'm not too worried about it being online. A lot of the time I'm playing to avoid, no offense to anyone in the chat room that's on my list, to avoid people, basically to sit down and enjoy myself. So the first few times, I didn't even notice. Mm. Then we sat down in the lounge, and I went to pull down something, and all of a sudden, nothing. And
apparently,
like,
a lot of people started to notice, though, heavily when Portal 2 came out, funnily enough.
Well, it was actually, interestingly enough, one of the first places people went was the fact that they thought that some sort of Valve-Sony connection had caused an outage. Hmm. Because
it was new. It was a new
It was so timing-related, like, perfect. Because I remember Dave was talking about online, like, playing co-op on the show, literally as we started the game, like as the day before this all started to happen, they played co-op.
And now, the Dave you're talking about is Dave Kaczyki.
Dave Kaczyki,
and this is from,
I always do this.
Yeah, and this is from rawdlc.com.
Yeah. Now, when we first did that, Nathan and David played together, and I went on the next day to sync up so that I could make sure my trophies that I would get actually synced across. Nothing. And I was like, all right.
Yeah, and the problems I was hearing a lot about were people, because you got a free Steam version of Portal 2 with the PlayStation version, but you couldn't use it because you couldn't actually log in to the Sony servers at that point to activate the Steam account. So even if you had a Steam version and a PlayStation version, you couldn't use it because suddenly the Sony network going down really sunk everything on this. All right, so time goes on and Sony is basically trying to figure out what is going on. They finally announced that there was a distributed attack, but it's okay. Nobody's details went out. Nothing happened.
That wasn't, the situation was the initial thing that we got from people were kind of, we're working on it, we don't know what's wrong, things are down, sorry guys, we'll let you know when we do, right? The first official announcement that came out blamed it on a DDoS attack.
Yeah.
And they basically went, look, you know, we've been hacked, something's gone wrong, Anonymous is to blame. Now, that was a really dumb thing to do. Even that's like if someone's, you know, possibly annoying you and then you go out and say it, you've just said their name.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you've probably made it worse. Now, the response to that at around about the same time when Sony actually came out and went, guys, look, we don't know what's going on. And you can understand why people would be fearful of dropping this info because it's a terrifying concept.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you don't want panic. But no matter what you say, you're going to cause panic.
Mm.
And they were like, look, details have gone out, definitely usernames and passwords, and your details. We don't know about credit cards. That's what we were told. At the same time, out comes the most outspoken of the Anonymous peoples, who put up a slide, which we showed on DLC, which basically says, number one, fuck you, Sony, it wasn't us, and don't blame your inability to figure out your problems on us. And second of all, we don't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
So officially, Anon. Now, I know that some people are going to argue with me because technically the concept of Anon is that it's anonymous, so it can be anyone. Anonymous are still possibly to blame, but Anonymous, as in the crew that usually goes around and organizes all these sort of things, have come out openly and said, we didn't actually do anything.
Well, it's interesting because they actually made another statement just 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So we actually have we have their press release. They actually released something, and we'll come back to that in a minute when we get to the latest updates. Mm. All right, so Anonymous is saying they had nothing to do with it. Sony then starts to talk about the fact that they have fingerprints from Anonymous on the servers.
Yeah.
And then, so the server's still down. They say Sony makes an announcement they're going to rewrite PSN from the ground up. They're going to recode the entire thing and put it back up. Then they come out and announce that, yes, some plain text files were taken which had usernames, passwords, account details, but not credit cards.
Yep.
Credit cards were encrypted, and they didn't have them. Now, they didn't actually say the encrypted files weren't stolen.
Yep.
They just said the credit cards were encrypted. Now, I was listening to Tech News Today yesterday.
Yeah.
And they actually had a caller who called, oh, sorry, an emailer who wrote in who basically said that their credit card, which is a, I think they claimed it to be what they call a burner card. Basically, they use it just for the gaming servers and stuff like that, not their day-to-day card, had suddenly clocked up $600 in Blizzard charges. Which then the bank has refunded them and all that sort of stuff.
Of course,
there is rumor going around that these cards might be out there. Because as Josh and I were talking about the other day, if they did pull an encrypted file, there's a very good chance that the reason why credit cards haven't started being used or we haven't started seeing this filter through yet is they have to break the encryption. You know?
Yep.
So, I mean, there is a possibility the encrypted file is out there and they're still breaking it.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, for Australian listeners, I will say that everything I've read so far, the files that were stolen doesn't seem to affect Australians. I noticed Austria was there. I noticed that they put a list of countries out.
Yeah.
Because the next stage to this is, while Sony is desperately trying to put all this back together, they then have to come out and admit that not only was the PSN network hacked, but the Sony online entertainment site has been hacked.
Yeah, now that one's heavy.
And now this is for those, this is things like, was it EverQuest?
EverQuest, all those old games.
It's a 2007 to 2009-ish
kind of an era. The reason that this was attacked and hacked is that these are running on a different server to things like the current, like DC Online and stuff like this.
DC Universe was mentioned in one press release that I heard.
But as far as we officially understand, the major attack, the attack that lost 12,500 accounts, was this old server. And the reason it's been hacked is because it has not had the security updates that modern ones have. Now, that one, those credit cards are gone.
Yeah, and once again, according to the list of countries of information that was stolen, Australia wasn't listed once again. So it looks like Australia may have gotten out of this unscathed, but that's not guaranteeing that. Okay, we don't know the extent because, once again, Sony tells everything in half-truths and half-informations.
As they do.
Now, this has led to... it was going to happen anyway, but it really was an impetus to get it kickstarted along, which was that American Congress has now started to do an investigation into online services. Not actually about Sony. It's about online services and security.
Yeah.
And they requested... in fact, I think the word is subpoenaed. Sony
requested very violently.
Very violently requested Sony to appear and testify. Mm-hmm. And there was another, and their name has gone out of my head. I think it was like Equinox or somebody. There was another major service.
Yeah, their component. Yeah,
there was another major service that actually also got hacked. As somebody pointed out on Buzz Out Loud a few days ago, they said, "Boy, they must be happy because it's taken all the publicity off of their hack." Because Sony's now got it all, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, they were both asked to testify, and neither of them turned up.
Yep.
They sent letters.
Well, you can kind of understand why you would probably want that. Because, like, right now, you would look like the kid with his fingers in the cookie jar. You don't really have the answers or any good story to throw back. Mm. You're kind of just sitting there, red-handed, going, sorry. That's probably why they're dodging.
We should state right here and for the record that Josh and I both personally believe, it's a personal belief system, that network traffic and the internet and everything else, none of it's perfect. And it's all stuck together by a shoestring and bubblegum. And it was never really planned. It has just been growing and growing and growing. And you know what? Shit happens.
Mm.
Servers crash. Things get hacked. And you know what? It's a bad thing and we don't wish it upon anyone.
Yeah.
But it happens. And the thing is, what we don't want to do right now is completely overreact.
Well, look, my words to anyone listening to this and sitting on the fence about it is please come over to our side because think about this really logically for a minute. Everything we do and the reason life has become so technologically advanced is because we are willing to make these things. Mm. 10 years ago, we wouldn't give out a single piece of information.
No.
We were about locking down everything. Then things like Facebook started to come across and you started realizing it would be cool for your friends to be able to find out about you. Then you started logging onto things like, if you're a Linux user, maybe the Ubuntu One or Jolly Cloud, or maybe you use Google, which means that you'll have your Google Docs, you've got your Google. Like, everything is connected. These are all informations you are giving out at a constant point.
Yeah.
And you have taken the risk that all your information will possibly be leaked. This is the same as bank situations. It's like people that say, I won't go online and do internet banking because I don't want my stuff hacked. Sweetheart, your accounts are still there.
Yeah.
Everything is still available in the net. And if they want into your bank account, they can. It's just a matter of whether or not they can find you because you haven't put your details up. You're more likely to get hacked due to your accounts on Facebook than you are to internet banking because that site's locked down.
And we've talked about this on the show before when we actually said that things like e-commerce, dealing with a reputable online shop like, something like Amazon, for instance, like that, is actually safer than going into a shop. Well, not so much nowadays because everything is electronic, but in the old days when they used to use the old click machines on your credit cards, those were so easy to scam because you were dealing with a person.
Yep.
And that person could easily then just write down all your information and take it away with them. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
With online shopping, you weren't dealing with people. You were dealing with a robot. You know what I mean? And it was much easier to do with that. And it was actually much more secure. Convincing people of that was a hard effort.
Yep.
But we seem to have won that over. You know?
But like the fact that people are coming up with, like, there's a lawsuit coming out of Canada. I don't know if you've heard
about
this.
Oh, and New York City, apparently.
Yeah. $1 billion this guy's aiming for the emotional damage. I don't know how he's planning to divvy this up because this is apparently a class action lawsuit. Where are all these people? It sounds like he's suing on behalf of all of us. Am I going to get a check in the mail?
Yeah, but the problem with all class action lawsuits is he gets $1 billion, spread that out amongst the class action, you probably get about a $4.95, you know?
Yeah. And like, who does that? Is that going to hit me? Am I involved in this? Why aren't I getting an email?
Well, you've got to join the class. You're in the wrong country, dear.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And this is what I'm saying. This doesn't work. Like, yeah. And the concept that people are being like, I want, you know, repercussions dealt to me because of this, it's just not fair.
Yeah, like, look, so Calisthenes in our chat room says he thinks the lawsuits are partially justified because the data should have been encrypted. I do agree. All the data should have been encrypted. Absolutely. Yeah. But once again, you know what? They patched this network together. Mistakes were made. Mm. All right? So you fire the engineers who were involved in getting all that together, but you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You don't immediately say, oh, we've had a crash. Everything has to change. You know what I mean? Because let me tell you, if Josh and I were talking about this last night, best case scenario, we go, shit happens, they rebuild it, everything gets back online, we go back to life as usual, okay? Worst case scenario, this explodes into a case of everybody going so knee-jerk reaction over, you know, completely blowing this out of proportion to the point where they start slapping rules and laws and congressional information on here and government control and basically lock it out to the point where it's no longer fun anymore.
Well, look, I wanted to point out to people because I had one of the Backstorm guys who isn't a huge techie asking me, he was like, so, you know, like, what's going to happen because of this? And, you know, like, it's difficult to explain to somebody with not necessarily limited knowledge, but just, you want to give them an understanding of kind of where we stand. And I actually broke it down to him and said, look, best case scenario, a few lawsuits pop up here and there and get knocked back and we all go back to normal. Worst case scenario, we end up with an internet war. Hmm. And I mean, like, this isn't a light thing. I'm not saying that is a fun kind of like ha-ha thing. This could seriously be the start of an internet war. You take all the things that you have as a user on the internet so for granted.
Hmm. Think about what we mean by internet war is very, very clear. If you go, people sit there and go, what do you mean by that? It's like Skynet. No. Think about this. The government turns around and says, because of this, we're putting down all these new rules, and we're going to start monitoring and watching everything you do. The users fight back against that because they say, how dare you get in my way? How dare you do this? So they fight back. That causes the government to say, because you're doing that, we're going to do this. The users basically then say, well, because you're doing that, we're doing it. And it escalates to the point where everybody is out trying to blow everybody else out of the water.
And we always talk about the biggest fear that we have being the fact that basically government gets control of our computers. If this happens, if these laws start to pass, if people start going, you're not doing enough care, you're not in control enough, we let government control come in. And if we get government control come in, our rights as a person get invaded immediately.
Look, I'm not anti-government. I think there's always room for places, things like regulation and stuff like that. But at the moment, the way things are working is actually pretty good. We are going to have situations where these shitty things occur. Mm. And as Josh and I were joking, this entire thing is probably some 14-year-old sitting in his bedroom hacking Sony. You know what I mean? Now, let's talk about that anonymous response.
Yeah.
This is from the 5th of May, so this is very fresh off the thing. Anonymous has said it wasn't us. All right? They basically came out. This is reported through Boston Reuters. It says the internet vigilante group Anonymous denied responsibility for a cyber attack on Sony Core's networks that exposed the personal data of more than 100 million video gamers. Their quote, let's be clear. We are legion, but it wasn't us. We are incompetent. You are incompetent, Sony, says Anonymous on their blog. Anonymous is a grassroots cyber vigilante group and launched attacks in December that temporarily shut down the sites of MasterCard and Visa using simple software tools. Blah, blah, blah. It goes on. The group's denial came a day after Sony charged Anonymous with being indirectly responsible for the attack on the Japanese electronic giant's network. What they mean by that is, according to a report a few days ago, Sony said that Anonymous may not have been actually responsible for the hack that brought them down. But there is evidence to point that Anonymous was off on the side doing other things which took focus away from what was actually happening on the main servers. Yeah. In other words, they're looking for a scapegoat.
Yeah.
Now, Anonymous, I have to say, look, I really respect Anonymous in the sense that I think they've done some really good stuff, and please don't hit my site. Okay? But at the same time, there is a certain amount of responsibility that has to be taken by Anonymous just purely because if the person is doing it in the name of Anonymous, they, in their statement alone, they've said it. We are Legion. You know what I mean? Which means they start a ball rolling. It's kind of like somebody going, I think we should all, I don't know, promote something to happen, like, you know, put firecrackers in a building. And then somebody in your name says, that's such a good idea, let's escalate that. You know what I mean?
And
let's put a bomb in that building. Well, the original person who instigated the stuff has a partial responsibility for inciting riot. You
absolutely
know what I mean?
But whether or not you can lay the blame on them.
You can't lay the blame on them, but I think Anonymous needs to basically at least acknowledge the fact that they may have lost control of a certain subsection of their people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or, well, no, because, I mean, like, subsections is... If I you know, color my face, stick an afro on and call myself a Black Panther, doesn't mean I'm working for them. You know, like, just because these people say I am Anonymous doesn't mean that they're part of Anonymous. If Anonymous has said, guys, this is not the time to incite a riot, and some dude goes off and does it, then you can't necessarily blame them for that. It's like, no.
That's a hard call, though, dude.
But,
there's always...
I can name myself whatever I want. It doesn't make me responsible
any
for
activist
the group,
group
action.
Any activist group that... doesn't matter whether it's, you know, Greenpeace or what have you. Any activist group out there that basically promotes...
but the question is, can you hold them responsible
mayhem,
for them?
And then one of their followers goes forward and does even more mayhem, even if they say stop, there is a slight responsibility. Not saying that they were completely responsible. There
I'm as responsible right here for talking about last month the fact that I was saying Sony need to realize that this sort of stuff won't fly and people will respond. I am responsible for that as well.
No, because no, you're reporting. You're not actually telling people to go out and do it. Anonymous actively goes out and tells people to go out and do stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
but like, I mean, this is my problem.
Initially. I'm not trying to say Anonymous is in the wrong here. I'm just trying to say that I think by the mere fact that they just come out and go, it wasn't us. I think doesn't show enough responsibility. I think they should basically say, okay, we have our disagreements with Sony.
Yeah.
We have done all this. We didn't actively tell anybody to do this. They need to actually lay it out there rather than just
this
say
is what they're doing.
Rather than just say, Sony, you're dipshits. You know what I mean? That's because even in their statement, they're still inciting riot. You know what I mean? They're still basically saying it wasn't us, but you're to blame. you know what I mean?
But the responses of Sony are as childish. And this is the problem, is you've got two children sitting on the fence pointing fingers at each other. And it's not going to help. Both of them need to sit down and see if we can fix this. Because if you guys don't start working together to try and figure out what's wrong, everyone suffers. And I mean, like, this has all started. Isn't it interesting? This has all started because a kid in a basement learned how to use a PlayStation outside the realms of PlayStation. And because of this, the world is starting to suffer.
Yeah.
And it's such an interesting point.
In many ways, Sony has brought this upon themselves. But at the same time, because of their treatment of Geohot, I mean, there's just no doubt that Sony... Yeah. treated that entire thing very, very badly. You know what I mean? But at the same time, maybe it's my age, I don't know, but there is a certain time where you sit there and you look at it and go, you can't sit there and continually incite. I mean, Anonymous is famous for inciting riot. You know, that's what they do. They are activist hackers, right? And then when something goes astray, they suddenly go, oh, we didn't do it.
No, but this is what I'm saying. They need to come on board. They need to get in contact with Sony and say, look,
Let us help you, sit
us down and we will put our team together and see if we can figure out who this
guy is. Because I tell you what, if they didn't have anything to do with it, I'll make you a bet Anonymous could find out who did in a matter of hours.
Well, it's that whole concept that, like, you know, if you go into a stray neighborhood and sort of say, look, you know, we're about to come in and burn down your entire neighborhood, how about you just find that guy, tie him up, and throw him out onto the front of your area, and we'll deal
with
it. Send
out who's responsible, and we leave the rest of you
alone.
Exactly,
but
you know?
No, it's kind of got to that point. Someone needs to be blamed for this, and someone needs to be extinguished, because if we don't extinguish this, that's when the law rolls
in. Think of the brownie points that gives Anonymous. Think about how much respect people would have for Anonymous if they turned around and said, yeah, you're right, this is an unacceptable thing, and let us help you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that would be an amazing thing.
And Delta's got it right. And this is what I've been trying to say the whole time. Anon are hackers of free speech, not the people that would take down good networks. They're the ones that their ideas get twisted and then someone has to be to blame, and that's them. And it's like Anon are just a watchdog group turning around and going, these guys here have done something completely illegal. you know, whatever happens to them is what happens. And like, yeah, I agree with you. They need to accept some responsibility. But what we all need to do is find this guy and put him out to be punished for what's happened. Otherwise, the law rolls through. And then we get laws rolling
through.
There's
a quote in this. And once again, the links for all of the stuff we're talking about is in our show notes. There is actually a quote from a security expert. His name is Barrett Lyon. He specializes in helping companies defend themselves against denial of service attacks. He believes Anonymous at least indirectly responsible for the Sony hacking. And his quote is, at the very least, they planted the seed that focused nefarious intention towards Sony.
Exactly.
So, and he says it could have been something that the Anonymous group started but couldn't really stop. And that's the problem. Once you get the ball rolling, it's very hard to stop that steam train. You know what I mean? So, yeah, and that's, once again, with great power comes great responsibility. And in this situation, I think Anonymous has to at least man up to the responsibility. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely.
Because they do have great power. Let's face it, Anonymous has incredible power at this point. When you have people on CNET podcasts talk about them and basically say, look, don't hit us. You know what I mean? Everybody is nervous about them, you know?
Yeah. So, and look, I mean, this is a real proof of power. And I mean, like, I don't mean that in a positive way. I'm just saying that we really, as the internet, as the rebirth of kind of this online world, this online life that we have created as geeks, we have to take responsibility for this.
Yeah.
And we have to turn around. It's like, dude, I'm not saying that this podcast will reach someone that knows, but if you know someone that knows the person that took this guy down, someone needs to get this guy locked away. Because otherwise, man, we all suffer. Our net will change drastically if we can't keep control of stuff like
absolutely, this. Absolutely. I agree with you. All right. Let's leave Sony there at this point.
So Calisynth, if you just happen to know the guy, I'm just saying.
Now, I'll say at this point, rather than save it to the end, because somebody complained that our housekeeping section at the end is too long. So let's spread it out throughout the show and say, because of all of this, I think this is the perfect time to say, if you want to find out much more about this entire thing, you should be listening to DLC Live, because these guys cover it in detail.
We've been covering it for the last 2 weeks. We're trying to find as much information as we can, but it is hard.
And these guys are the video game specialists, so you should be talking to them. Go over to rawdlc.com, or you can find DLC Live on iTunes. Okay, that being said, quick follow-up to that iPhone tracking issue. Now, this actually got resolved a few days ago, but because we didn't do a show, I thought we'd just do it very quickly and say that Apple finally came out with a statement and a fix. So it's happened. Everything's happened in the last week and a bit. Basically, though, what we said last week was very true. They said that it wasn't actually tracking you. And if you actually looked at the maps carefully, and this is the part that I thought was very interesting. If you actually look at the maps carefully...
How long did it take us to figure this stuff out?
I know.
10 minutes when we looked at it?
If you look at the maps carefully, it's not actually tracking you exactly. And those positions are actually cell towers. They're not actually you. What it's doing is it's finding your location, because iPhones also use what's called assisted GPS, which is, of course, being able... And iPads, which is where it can actually do your coordinates based on Wi-Fi and iPhone and Wi-Fi and cell towers. And that program, what it was doing was, as you're doing, it's basically group sourcing the locations of all this stuff. Now, the bug was it wasn't supposed to be recording it for that long, and it wasn't supposed to be syncing it back to iTunes, and it was supposed to be anonymous. Okay, so these are the three bugs, right? So Apple has now issued, and if you are an iDevice user, log into iTunes, it is 4.3.3 is the update patch. It just got released, and it basically reduces the size of the cache, cuts the syncing away, and basically fixes this issue. And it also puts an opt-out, which says if you turn off location services, it doesn't track, period. All right. So there you go. And we put it as a beat up of the week, because as soon as I heard it and started looking at it going, really? Bottom line is this. You don't want to be tracked. Don't use a smartphone.
Damn right.
Period. Mm-hmm. End of story. Windows Phone 7, Android, doesn't matter.
But this comes back to what I was talking about before. It's like, this is the shit you guys give up. And it's like, don't turn around and be surprised when this shit is being used.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you give up your location every time you log into Foursquare, every time you log into Facebook and tell people where you are. This information is going out. You give it up, you give up that right. I'm not saying that's wrong.
Yeah, Callison,
people make their decisions.
Callison says, don't use a mobile phone, period. True.
Word.
Well, you can be tracked by a phone, but what with smartphones in particular, they use location services. So there's actually a much more accurate tracking that's going on because of things like Facebook and all these things. And as Steve Jobs actually pointed out, if you turn off location services on a smartphone, you're killing about 60% of the usage of a smartphone, you know? The whole reason for using it. And the other point that Apple wanted to make in their press statement about all this was, if you had read the terms of service when launching your iPhone, it actually does say, we record your location. Mm. That particular thing was in the terms of service. No, now, granted, the terms of service for an iPhone is 35 pages long and nobody ever reads it, but it was there, right?
The other one that I love, dude, more than anything, is the fact that people, like, that would be a bit like, for me, if you had that one password program, right?
Yep.
And you basically turned around and went, wait, what do you mean? They're saving all my passwords?
Yes, exactly.
It's like, I'm sorry, guys. Smartphone, it's Google Maps, and you ask it where you are. What do you think it's doing?
Yeah. And people say, but I don't allow it to do the location services when it pops up saying, can we use your location? That's per app.
Yeah, exactly.
The fact that it's asking you that says that location services is turned on, all right? You can turn it off per app, or you can turn it off altogether. There's two big things there, all right? So, look, use your smartphones. Don't be so fucking paranoid about tracking.
Well, look, just make your decisions selectively.
Yeah, like, and if you're one of those sort of people who uses Facebook check-in, there's no one to blame but yourself.
And look, the one thing that I thought about recently is, look, I mean, I looked at this personally. It's like, my password may be lost. I've gone through, because, you know, I keep my passwords relatively simple and for particular devices. So it's like anything cloud-based or anything like Steam or anything like that, I have one password for those kind of things. I have a password for anything social. So it's basically, I went through and just changed all the passwords, which took me 20 minutes to go through and just click on everything I had, add an extra digit to the password, and then I don't put in things like addresses or anything like that.
I'm actually really tempted. I was thinking about this last night. I think it's a bit of a chore because I have a lot of sites that I'm involved in. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually going to go through and I'm going to put an individual password on every site, I've decided.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a pain in the ass. Mm. But I think I've got a system. I was putting together a system in my head for actually making it so that I could remember it, but nobody else would figure it out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to attempt it. I don't know how well it's going to work. All right. Just very, very quickly, I would have played like Taps or something at one point, but our board is so screwed up today. Yeah. But we will salute America and say we're very, very, very sorry for you, because as of Monday, data caps came into effect.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world. I mean, data caps, all right, they're going, oh my God, we only have 250 to 500 gigabytes of data this month. Okay, guys, come and use the internet in Australia for a while.
Come over to our side and just try it.
Yeah, try that out. Try it out for a while and see how you go. This isn't much of a data cap. But anyway, caps are now being put into place. So all those people who have been used to unlimited internet in America on your Comcasts and your AT&Ts and what have you, it's gone, baby. All right. Also, South Australia has come out, and the link for this in all its detail, we're just racing through some of this because, once again, we started so late. But South Australia has come out, and they now say, officially, they will back the R rating for games. But they want the MA eliminated.
What?
I read that and I went, pardon? Apparently they don't like the MA rating. They want it to go GPGMR.
Interesting.
Which, in fact, if you really think about it logically...
this is exactly what I was thinking.
If you really think about it logically, that makes complete sense, because M and MA are both theoretically... for over 15s.
Yeah, it's means suggested.
That's right, and MA was a restricted.
Yeah, you know? Done.
So if they want to just eliminate the MA, this is just for games, mind you, not for movies. Mm. I think that's a silly idea. I think it should be one universal system for everything. But once again, as long as they move forward on the R rating, I will accept it.
Yep.
Now, the interesting part of this entire article was South Australia is now saying that even if the Attorney Generals don't agree, and even if they don't bring in the R rating, they're thinking about bringing in the R rating for games their state only.
Ah.
Talk about a turnaround.
Oh, man.
So we will see in, I think, when is the next Attorney General meeting? It's June or July.
Something,
I think it's
like
June or
that,
July.
Yeah.
We already know, we've reported on this show, the federal government has said if they don't come up to a decision, then the government is going to step in. So one way or the other, something is going to happen in June, July.
Yeah.
So there won't be any more of this wishy-washy, we're not sure. Okay? It will actually be something in June or July.
Oh,
But yeah, I think it's funny South Australia is doing all this. Also, I just wanted to talk about some really, really hot tech. Once again, we don't have a lot of time to go into detail. The PC Mag article is actually in our show notes. But Ivy Bridge, the new Intel processor, wow, this is going to be hotness on legs. Basically, their concept is chips are flat. It's a flat die plane, and you put all the transistors across it. And Intel started to get thinking, why? And so they're going to take Intel chips 3D. They're going to actually make the surface of the chip fins, and they're actually going to put the transistors standing upright, which means they can actually like quadruple the size and number of transistors on a single die.
Oh, dude, that's sick.
Is that hot or
that is
what?
That is so sexy.
The Ivy Bridge processors are in development. We will keep our eyes on this. I want to see this in action. Could you imagine if they start talking about like quad core Ivy Bridges? Yeah, baby. Moore's Law, according to Freak, and all I'll say to Moore's Law is it's just been fucking hit on the head with a hammer, because that's not doubling. This is like literally quadrupling in one step. So
that's beautiful.
Now,
man,
the other thing about it is apparently it will also save on power. It'll be incredibly power. What's the word I'm looking for? Conservative, which means that it could be a whole new breed of mobile transistors.
Yeah.
So we could be looking at some new hotness from Intel coming up, because Intel has been suffering in the mobile field.
They honestly, I think that's really where they're pushing for, because like at the moment, the netbook is about to die. If someone can't figure out something to revive it, either make it a really good system, or make it run a little better, or rebuild the concept. Like, don't just have Windows Starter create something based for it. Unless we see this, no.
Look, I think what we're going to see is we're going to see this as a hot competitor to ARM, because ARM is kicking the ass of Intel at the moment. So, all right, that's our tech. Let's talk about some geeky shit, because there's a couple of funny ones in here, guys. I got to tell you, I love it when geeks go crazy. All right. What was this one? This was an article that came out that actually talked about how this is kind of the new dynamic in families. It's something that we all knew already as geeks, but it seems that Gizmodo has this article saying family time has now become gadget time. And I'll just read this. This is
I love the picture. I know, the picture's great. It's got the four people sitting on with different devices.
This is a quote. Mrs. Vavra, a cosmetics industry executive in Manhattan, looked up from her iPad, where she was catching up on the latest spring looks at refinery29.com, and noticed that her husband, Michael Combs, was transfixed, streaming the NCAA men's basketball tournament on his laptop. Their son, Tom, 8, was absorbed by the Wii game Mario Kart on the widescreen television. Their daughter, Eve, 10, was fiddling with a game app called Love Calculator on an iPod Touch. Quote, unquote, the family was in the same room, but not together. And this goes on. This is an article which is really interesting, because they're basically saying that it's really become a new dynamic where people, even in their own homes, aren't even talking to each other anymore.
Well, you know? Why would we?
So I think what we really need to do is every now and again, even if it's for half an hour or so, just put the gadgets down.
I have a instilled policy that 1 to 2 days of the week, I will leave the house and go for at least a 20 to 25 minute walk away from everything I own. Because, like, seriously, I get saturated with this stuff. I can't reach in my room at least an arm's width away and not hit a device. So, yeah, I just...
I'm guilty as everybody. I have, whenever I sit and watch television, I have an iPad on my lap and my phone next to me.
Yeah,
and my laptop
my
laptop is literally two steps away. So, you know, I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody.
Yeah, but, exactly.
And we just all have to think about it for a little bit and say, you know, every now and again we should interact with each other, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so that's that one. Now, what was this one? Hold on. Yes. This is a warning for all of you out there. If you're going to do illegal things, I think it is time to realize that you should be able to service your own computer. Okay?
Oh, no way. What happened?
I love this. This is an article on Gizmodo. And it says, this gentleman, what was his name? Hartney, I think it is. I'll read it because I love the way they word it, all right? Yeah. Gizmodo says, Hartney, disgusting moron that he is, brought his child porn-laden laptop to an area repair shop. Part of the fix required the backup of his hard drive. To his despair, upon picking up the computer, he noticed some of his grotesque and illegal sexual images of children were missing. So naturally, he returned to the shop and demanded that his files be returned in full. The technician, realizing what she was copying, called the cops, who uncovered a cache of more computers and phones chock full of illicit images. All I'm going to say is, if you're going to do something illegal, you should know how to change your own hard drive over.
Oh, dude, that is just right? Shocking. Like, you are just...
Ian Hartney was his name, by the way. You just look at it and go, all right, let's take child pornography out of the equation here. But if you're, like, pirating movies or something like that, you don't take that computer into a service shop.
Yeah.
You
it's the
cover
same
your
kind
tracks
of,
a bit, you know?
It's the same kind of guy that would come into work constantly to me and be like, I don't look up porn. And it's like, dude, I've been on your computer. Yeah, you just
go
drop
history.
It. Just drop it. Seriously, I know. It's like, understand, if you don't know what you're doing, people like me know exactly what kind of sick shit you're into. We are well aware of it. You know what? Most of us don't care unless it's something like that.
Hmm.
Word of warning. If you're into child porn, don't bring your computer to me, because by the time you get it back, you'll get it back, realize, and the cops will roll up to your place.
Yeah, exactly, just like that. My point is this. If you are taking a computer, first of all, I think everybody should know how to do basic servicing on their computer. You know, it's kind of
not
that,
this guy, though. I'm kind of glad that
oh, that's true. Nabbed. No, that's true. Yeah. Well, I'm glad he got nabbed. I'm just, in general, the idea of this.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you are completely innocent of anything, though,
yeah.
Can I make a very interesting point that you should really know how to do some basic servicing on your own? Because every time you give your computer in to be serviced, giving them your address books, you're giving them all your files, you're giving them any information that might be on that drive.
Don't leave it alone with anyone.
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
I just like, even as a computer techie, I say that to anyone watching this show. If you have to hand your computer into anything, wipe it.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, if it's got to the point where you can't deal with it yourself and you take it to a computer store like mine and you drop it off, I will take a quick look at the computer right then and there with you. If I can't figure out what it is or I can't tell you how to fix it and I've got to send it away, take your laptop away, back up everything, and that's it. Like, don't leave it with me until the files are empty, because otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, no, look, every time you take it in... So I think it's high time we say, if you own a car, you should know how to change your oil.
Yeah.
Okay? And put petrol in it and check your water and all those sort of basic things. Okay? Mm. If you own a computer, you should know how to install RAM. You should know how to change a hard drive.
Yep.
You should know how to back up. You should know how to
it
wipe
is.
A drive.
It's like looking, at a car. It's like you need to know the basics of a car, which is why I don't use one. But it's like you need to know
I wouldn't know how to fix
a
car.
Yeah, I know, but you know how to check the
oil. I know how to
oil.
Change the oil. I know how to check the water. You know, I know how to do the basic maintenance. You know what I mean? So it's the same sort of concept. All right. Yeah. That's that guy. Hopefully you rot in jail, you horrible child pornographer.
You weird
son weird,
bitch.
Weird man. Now, the one that I love, though, is this. Forget that one. We don't have time. The one that I love is, I'm going to jump forward here. Here it is. I've actually listed this as, if I was one of these teens, I would have pooped my pants. I'm not going to lie. Okay? Yeah. This is an article on Geekology. Basically, some British hooligan teens were going through the neighborhood ripping off cars. Right? You know, breaking into cars and stealing stuff. Well, unbeknownst to this group of Manchester teens who were on a crime spree,
no way.
The SAS were actually doing an operation, and there was a team of them in a van waiting to do this operation. They saw the teens coming, and they actually sat there going, don't hit this van, don't hit this van, don't hit this van. But when they saw them coming, they said, well, we're going to give them something to remember. They decked themselves out fully with assault rifles and the whole bit, and when the back doors opened, those teens opened, and there was a team of SAS troops pointing weapons at them. It said, according to the source, it said the lads each had a machine gun and a side pistol with live ammunition to make it realistic. They saw these scroats coming for some time. They didn't want to move for fear of ruining the exercise and hoped the gang would pass by them. The lads decided they would teach them a lesson, and if they did get into their van, which is exactly what happened. With the team's cover blown, the exercise was canceled. But they got the fucking lads breaking into cars, let me tell you. So, you know what? The message is this. Don't go breaking into vans. You don't know who's in there.
And all I have to say to those kids is, unlucky.
All I can say is, SAS guys, good sense of humor.
Oh, dude, for sure. Well, you'd be hell pissed off because you'd have this exercise ready and you'd be like...
Callison says those are the best. Those are the most best behaved kids ever now.
You will never do a thing wrong because in your mind there will be a dude behind that door with a motherfucking machine gun.
Now, while we're on stupid criminal activity. I think, now I actually had a photo lined up. I was going to drop the photo up and everything else because I thought this was just the picture alone made me laugh. All right. And I actually said in my show notes, I said, I think the headline speaks for itself. Mm. And the headline in this particular case is a man tried to rob a convenience store with a PlayStation wand.
What?
The picture. Don't you love that picture? Okay, according to this headline, a man tries robbing convenience store with a PlayStation controller. Unsurprisingly, fails. That's it, Delta Knight. Oh, by the way, we didn't actually say this at the head of the show. All of our links are brought to us by Delta Knight, a.k.a.
And
David
Delta,
Murray.
Good choices today.
In our chat room. He's our moderator as well.
You had
and
2 weeks. That's why you did so
And I
got
to
well.
Tell you, as soon as I opened that link, I started to chuckle to myself. And I just thought, and I think it's because they put a picture of the PlayStation wireless controller. The what's it called? What do they call it?
It's the Move controller.
Move controller. That's
inside the gun holder.
Inside also. The pistol grip. And all I could think is this guy walking into a convenience store and holding that out with its glowing ball on the end. All right, let's go. All right, some detail. It says, picture sadly unrelated. It was a regular controller.
Oh.
Oh, dear. It makes it even funnier. A Florida man was arrested. This is from Geekology. A Florida man was arrested after attempting to rob a convenience store by pretending the PlayStation controller in his pocket was a gun.
Oh, right.
He says he was arrested by a police officer who walked into the store in the middle of the robbery. Talk about bad luck all around. Man, if this guy had died, he'd be up for a Darwin Award.
Oh,
I swear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so bad.
Oh, boy. That's just bad luck all around. Also, bad luck all around, we could say that Microsoft is resurrecting Clippy. Remember the little, I see you're writing a letter. Can I help you?
Oh.
But as a game.
Oh.
Oh, no. Fantastic. I don't like that.
Unless it's like a Howard the Duck kind of laugh fest kind of thing where it's like him being like this washed up dude because no one takes him seriously anymore. That I'd be in on.
Clippy could be in Hobo with a Shotgun too. All right. What else we got? Remember our story from 2 weeks ago about the guy getting beaten to a pulp because he was watching pornography in a public library?
Yes.
Okay, we've got follow-up on that. Yeah. Apparently, according to, I think it's the state of New York. I could be wrong. My show notes are coming up very slowly here. But anyway, it has been deemed a right. You are allowed to watch pornography in a public library. A story today, New York Post apparently says that it has now become a matter of free speech and free association. Yeah. And it says here that as much as it may disturb you, watching pornography in a public library is a right.
Yeah, technically. Well, I don't know. What about classification?
Well, in America, they've got a different classification system than here. I guess. So, they've got the little wings there so you can't see what other people are doing. So theoretically, if you want to sit there and watch porn, it's a right. It's a public library, dude. Do what you want. NPR's got the link. New York, if you want to go watch porn in a public library, New York's the place to go, apparently.
I might do that just on the side note this week, just for the fun of it.
We won't have the same rights here.
Well, I'll go to New York.
Australia,
today.
We won't have the same rights. I think that's...
I'll sit there with a book in one hand and the screen on like this, and someone will walk past and be like, do you mind? I'll be like, do you?
Your dick in your hand, right?
I am busy, and I am watching porn in the background, okay?
We have a quick little piece of science news. Very quick, because we've talked about the Large Hadron Collider and all that sort of stuff. This isn't Large Hadron Collider related, but it is antimatter related.
Yeah.
I thought this was actually very interesting. Apparently, scientists working on the Anti-Hydrogen Laser Physics Apparatus, or ALPHA, near Geneva, Switzerland, did something that no other scientists have been able to do, and that is they actually contained antimatter for 16 minutes. I thought that was extraordinary.
Wow.
Because if you remember when the Large Hadron Collider caught that antimatter, they only had it for like microseconds,
microseconds.
And they said it was enough time to study it. These guys have 16 minutes. Mm. The amount of information they are going to get out of this is phenomenal. And all I can think is, does this mean that we're going to be able to have Ghostbuster-style positron wands soon if we can contain antimatter,
How long is it going to be till some guy just gets tempted and crosses streams?
Well, because it actually, the words, what made me think of the Ghostbusters positron was some of the words. They actually talked about containment streams and stuff like that. And all I could think was, That's exactly the terminology used in Ghostbusters. I thought that was really cool. Okay, so it says here, their quote, the Alpha team want to keep antimatter intact long enough to study it. So last year they worked out how to hold a cloud of anti-hydrogen in a magnetic trap. Not for long, though. Collisions with trace gases would have either annihilated the anti-atoms or given them the energy to escape. So the team opened the trap after 170 milliseconds and observed the resulting annihilations. Oh, that would have been so cool. Verifying that antimatter had been made. Annihilation. All right. So I love that. All right. I wonder, you know, it probably isn't spectacular like that at all. We probably have this idea in our head.
I think it's awesome.
Atomic explosions, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to weird geek food. And we actually don't have food this week, and I actually had a picture for the chat room, but once again we're ghetto style today, we actually have these new sandwich bags, and I'll show Josh a picture, link is in our show notes. I just thought this was very having a problem at work where people steal your lunch. Well, these might help. These are new sandwich bags that have bugs printed on them. they're called what is it? It says this is from whatever are we again, Geekology for this one. Basically it says lunch bags are sandwich bags with bugs printed on them to help deter lunch theft. They're basically a variation of an already existing mold bags, but they're very expensive. Apparently, these are much cheaper. And the idea is that people at first glance will just see the cockroach on your lunch and not want to eat it. Of course, it's just a printed picture. And all I can think is, I don't know if I'd want to eat my lunch if I saw that.
Yeah, I know. There's something like, even right now, looking at it, I'm like, you know what? And what happens that one time that you think it's fake and you put the wrong bag in?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like just having it there. That's supposed to... That reaction that you feel when you look at that bag, that's supposed to be because you shouldn't want to eat something that has bugs crawling on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Dampening that effect? Don't know whether that's...
I'm not sure if that's going to work at all. All right, let's move on to Geek Picks of the Week because there's actually a lot to talk about this week. It's not just one. Normally, we, at this point, talk about what we've been using on our portable devices. It is not always an iOS device. This is... our picks could be anything from a piece of hardware. Josh did his laptop a couple weeks ago. This week, predominantly, I think we're talking about iOS things because we have a new program we're going to talk about. But we also have a couple links, and the first thing I want to say is if you like history, this link was sent to me. Now, I didn't actually record the email. Let me just check the email. I actually got a press release from some people, and I don't know if I can find it very quickly. I should have thought of this because now I haven't got it. We were really pushed at the beginning of this show. Anyway.
Did he mention that we were behind?
We were very behind. Anyway, I won't worry about it. Anyway, the point is, we're going to talk about their app. So as long as we talk about their app, that's all that really matters.
Okay, let's do that.
There's an app, and I actually put it on my iPhone. I put it on my iPhone, and I thought it was really cute. It costs $1.19, I think, from memory. I think it's like a 99-cent app. Good, this is wonderful, isn't it? We're not even getting anything on the links. Very good. All right. It's because it's an iTunes link, that's why. All right, so this app is called Geek History. And I just thought this was the cutest app. And literally, you just type in the date, and you can actually find out this day in geek. So on May 7th, and now I'll also point out they have two apps, and the other app we'll talk about in the other show, because they also have movie history. And you can actually find out all sorts of stuff through there. But let's have a look. Where are we? Let's see here. Here we go. This day in history in 1984, V, The Final Battle, a sequel to the 1983 hit, airs. How about... Space Shuttle Endeavour lifts off on its first mission, STS-49, repairing the Intelsat 6 satellite.
Awesome.
Fifth Element was released on this day in 97.
Oh, yeah.
Iron Man 2 was released in the United States on this date. Okay? So I just thought this was a really, really... It's just basically called Geek... What's the actual app is called Today in Geek History. And you can actually scoot forward or back, and you can actually set... preferences for what sort of history you want to see and so forth. And they have a sister app which is called This Day in Movie History, which is also a lot of fun too. We may not get to that in film actually, but those are two apps that these people promoted, and the link for them is in our show notes. So they are really cute. If you are interested in what happened in geek history, that was one to have a look at. The other thing I wanted to point out as an app is actually something Delta Knight sent through in the show notes. I just think this is so clever, it's genius. The app has been, the iPad has been promoted heavily as something that you can use in the kitchen for all your recipes and cookbooks and so forth. So this company has now come up with the disposable iPad prophylactic, or basically it's a kitchen sleeve. you put your iPad into it, it seals, but it's still very, very capacitive for the touchscreen. Mm. It doesn't matter if you spill stuff on your iPad or what have you, do all your cooking, and then you just literally peel it off and throw it away. So it's your basically your kitchen buddy. It's called It says that a lot of people have in the past used Ziploc bags to do this. But the problem with Ziploc bags is they're not real good for the screen because the plastic's too thick. This is much, much better. It's called the chef's sleeve. The idea.
I preferred kitchen condom. I saw it in the chat room. A prophylactic,
I think, is wonderful. It is just basically a Ziploc bag, just thinner material, much tighter, and you buy them in packets. So I think that was kind of neat. And the last one I want to say before we get onto this super big one that we really want to talk about is I just think this is the coolest thing. Once again, I had a picture for the chat room. You guys are going to have to look at the link, but this is called Bendy. And basically, it's a little iPad stand that sits on your coffee table and has a bendable arm.
Oh, dude, that's kind of cool.
So you can actually just lean it out in front of you and use your touchpad and then push it out of the way. And I just think that is the hottest thing I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. So how much are they charging for it? Does it have a price?
$49 US.
Wow.
Which is actually not too bad for one of those bendable arms, considering...
I guess, you know, like, especially if you were using it like a side pad, like you had your computer here and, like, you could bend it over.
I think it's bendable, so you could have it up in front of you to watch a movie. You could bend it down to actually use it as a touch screen, you know?
That would be quite useful.
I think that would be very clever and very useful, and I quite like that. So, that all being said, the big one that we want to talk about today...
Do you want me to get my little ones out of
the way? Oh, yeah, get your little ones out of the way.
Okay, for anybody that doesn't already know, if you go onto the website, I have done a huge thing up about Ubuntu and Linux and basically options for Linux.
Great
for
article.
Because if you don't know about this world, I've even installed Linux, and that may have been one of the reasons why the show went out late. But anyway, I've installed Linux on...
Before you go on, look, Delta Knight's throwing all these links out for this stuff into the chat room. God, you're a legend, Delta.
Yeah. So yeah, that's an option and something that I would like to pick. The new Ubuntu 11.4 is very good, very fast, and very reliable. I would also like to say for the Samsung Galaxy Tab that you all remember that I got, my... two apps for this week are ACV, which is a comic book app for Android. I figured we should probably start seeing both worlds now.
Absolutely.
And the other one is, do you remember Winamp? Because
I certainly do. Yeah. I used to use Winamp all the time.
Winamp has a fantastic app on this. And look, it's not the best one out there by some people's account. There is a paid version. But if you guys are looking for a free music player, as there are certain formats the original one won't do, and also the fact that Winamp has things you can open up onto the screen and have running and things like this, Winamp has an app on Android, which is
very fantastic.
Anyway, yes.
So I used to use Winamp as my default media player. That was my music player back in the early 2000s.
early days.
Okay, now the other one we want to talk about is a big one. Now I can't even remember where I first heard about this now. Oh, I heard about this on Scott Johnson's The Morning Stream. And I went, wow, that sounds really interesting. I have never been a big World of Warcraft player. I've put it on. I've toyed with it. But the problem I find with World of Warcraft is, it looks pretty. I like the idea of it. I should really get into it. But A, it's too expensive when you consider it's like $30 a month or whatever
it
is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And B, who has that much time to sit in front of their computer just to be engrossed in this world that you sit there for hours playing? So I just could never get into it. Anyway, this game has come out on iPad. Now, GameLoft are famous for just duplicating other people's games. And they have done
it. That's what they do. They do it well.
And they have done it again. And I actually have a trailer. Let's have a look at this trailer really quickly. The game is called Order and Chaos Online. And it is, for all intents and purposes, World of Warcraft on an iPad or iPhone.
We'll talk about it after you see
this. Have a look at this quick trailer. Okay, so that's Chaos and Order Online.
Do you need to turn the thing?
I need.
Okay.
I'm mastering this technique.
All right, cool. Just making sure we're on.
It's a two-handed operation now. I'm going to have to move the soundboard out here if we have to keep doing this. I'll have all this rectified throughout the week. All right, so Order and Chaos is basically World of Warcraft. Now, here's the good part. It plays really well.
And is an seriously, I cannot stress this enough. Even as someone that's not necessarily the world's biggest WoW fan, this is the most amazing interface I have ever seen in gaming. It's just, it's on a screen this big. All right, you're playing it on iPad, but I'm playing it on iPhone. And yet it's usable.
Yes.
It's like World of Warcraft-esque depth.
Now, let's stress right really clearly. I don't know how well this will run on a 3GS, all right?
Apparently really well. I was actually well playing for like the God knows how many hours I've put into this game so far. Was watching a conversation go past. That's right. Playing the game while watching a conversation happen. I won't explain how that's possible. But yeah, one guy was saying, he's like, I'm playing on a 3GS right now. No lag, no problems. Fantastic. So there you go.
Okay, here's the best part. Costs $8.99 to buy.
Yeah,
you get 3 months of the service for free.
Fucking A.
And then after that, it's 99 cents a month.
That's fantastic. apparently 60 levels in the cap, which is fantastic. Awesome.
And look, I'm going to assume we're going to have expansion packs. I'm going to assume we're going to expand, but this world is immense.
And dude, it is not slowing down. Like I have constantly followed the games that aren't WoW. Ever since WoW ever first came out, this game is not slowing down. The amount of people jumping on is increasing.
No, it's increasing, and it's a lot of fun. And I actually find myself playing it a lot. Why? Because I can carry the iPad around with me. I can sit on the couch. I can play a couple of hours of it. I can put it down. I was playing it the other day while watching TV, you know? So, you know, and I think that was the thing that's held me back from World of Warcraft all this time, is the fact that you get stuck in front behind a computer.
Yeah.
Having it on a mobile device is really easy. Now, it is Wi-Fi only. I don't think they've opened it to 3G yet, but I did play it on 3G the other day because I have a MiFi. I fired it up on the MiFi, so as far as the iPad was concerned, it was Wi-Fi, but it was using 3G, and it played really well. So awesome. It will play really. So the server is actually very, very strong. It's very robust. It seems to be holding up. Get the game. If you want to become friends with us, I think we're American server, Arcadian Forest. A forest. I'm a female ranger called Raylene, and you're a...
I remember using something that was like a product. Oh, Wacom. Wacom.
Wacom, but it's spelled with an I. It's
Waicom.
That's right. Wacom, and
how much is the game? The game is $8.99, and it will give you 3 months of online play as well.
Yeah, now it is an online game. It's World of Warcraft.
And you need a Wi-Fi connection to play it. I think you've had it running. How does it run on the 3G?
Well, on the MiFi card, it ran fine.
Oh, okay.
You know? There you so go. if you've got a, because as far as the iPad is concerned, that's Wi-Fi, so it will run.
Yeah.
But it's a 3G connection.
I'm expecting to see you on there, Delts.
Yeah, Delts, come in. So I'm going to type into the chat room my username, which is Raylene.
Yeah, you can do mine as well.
Raylene. Female Ranger is what I am. We'll just type all this in. Sorry for the audio listeners. Female Ranger. And you are Waicom.
Yeah.
And what are you? You're a human...
I am a human mage.
Human mage, just to help you find people. Yeah. And we are in America server. And there's been no problem with being on an American server. Yeah. I've had no problem. The only reason I'm on the American server... is because Scott Johnson and a whole bunch of other people I want to try and connect with are.
Yes, but it's not WoW, and you'd be playing with us.
So American server, and it's called Arcadian Forest. So when you get the question of which server you want to go on, that's where we are. And you can find us. Okay? Yes, it's not World of Warcraft, but it looks a lot like it. So yeah, come and join us. Come and join the fun. If you want to friend me, feel free.
Yeah.
With all that being said, I think we're done. I think that's all I have for you today. Let me just make sure. I'll just go through because we've been in such a mess. I'll just make sure I don't miss anything here. Public libraries. Just one very quick one. I have a link here. We didn't cover it, but all I can say is roll on summer. It's a picture thing, and because we don't have the pictures, it's kind of hard. Delta will put the picture in for the chat room. Nerf has released a new range of water pistols and what are they called?
Did we do this last week?
No, this is a new one. What are they called? They're super soakers.
Yeah. You know
the super soakers? They're a new one, but the water comes in clips. How cool is that? So you've got the super soaker, you load the clip onto it. All I can think is, this is a water pistol I can get behind. I'll put the link in the show notes, and all I can say is roll on Summer Man. I want to play with that. All right. It says Super Soaker uses magazines to reload. So instead of having to run to a tap every time you unload and fill up, you can preload a bunch of clips on you.
Fantastic. I'm excited.
All right, that's it for the show today. If you've got anything you want to add to this, you want to check our stats, you want to correct us, you want to yell at us, I don't care. Anything you want to do, feedback@geekactually.com. Leave us a voicemail, 02-801-13167. That is a Sydney number. If you aren't in Sydney and still want to leave us a voicemail, Skype ID, Geek Actually. We were going to open the Skype lines today, but unfortunately with all of the chaos, I didn't want to risk it. Mm. You can get merchandise, follow us on Twitter, join our Facebook fan page, do anything you want. Just go to geekactually.com and there's a link that says follow us. I'm looking at the link right now. I can see it on screen. Click on there and it's got all of our various social media links. If you want to watch us record this show, normally we would start at 12 p.m. All right. Today it was very late, but normally we start at 12 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, UTC plus 10. Geekactually.com/live is the address that you would go to do that. Please do join us. It is a lot of fun. We love having our chat room. And hopefully next week the show will look a whole lot better because we will be back in control of our destinies.
Always the hope.
Yes. I don't know what happened this morning. Disaster time. All right. And we just a couple of friends out there. We've already mentioned rawdlc.com. We'll say it again. Great gaming website. Go there. Check them out. Sorry, I'm just pulling a plug because we got to finish it up.
Go.
WeekendRonan.com, home of Real Junkies. The Real Junkies are a podcast, movie podcast. They get drunk while they review movies. Great fun. And, of course, we want to thank our cartoonist, Josh Spencer, over at attackninja.blogspot.com for all of our great artwork. We also want to thank Grant Noy for our opening theme music. Thank you very much, Grant. And we want to thank Delta Knight in our chat room for being our moderator and all of our links. He's wonderful. And most of all, we want to thank the chat room. Guys, that's it. Thank you very much for joining us. The live people aren't going to get any music going out today because we're all ghetto style, but for those who are listening to the audio, you're going to hear music any second now. So we'll say thank you very much, and we'll see you all next week. Geek on, everybody! Bye.